views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA Region number 6. And today is a Thursday, September the 20th, 2018. Man, flying by. I think we have two more days of summer before the fall kicks in. So I love summer, y'all. I don't know about y'all, but summer is my favorite time of the year. I hate when it goes. Love when it comes. Hope it always stays. So, hey, but fall is around the corner. Fall's not that bad, but I love summer. So, a couple more days left of summer. So, get out and enjoy yourself if you possibly can. But with that being said, we're going to jump into today's show. Before we do that, let's take care of some administrative works. Everyone, please continue to support Black Talk Radio Network by making a financial donation via its website of blacktalkradionetwork.com. Hit the donation prompt that's there. And then also you can support the network by being a part of the social media platform known as BTR Community. And BTR Community is a social media, a more holistic social media platform where you can engage in all of your social media activities without being as adversely affected. So do that at btrcommunity.com. And once you're there at www.btrcommunity.com, it's only $24 a year, and you can engage in the social media activities that you can benefit from. They are not crowdsourcing you. It's a place where you can actually have an engagement social media-wise, and that be beneficial to you within reason. Also, if you would like to acquire real money, definitely go to Prosperity Mint and transfer your cash into real money at Prosperity Mint, and then check out what's in inventory there. Then email info@prosperitymint.com. info@prosperitymint.com is the place to do that. And also, anyone that I brought into Coins of Change, please make sure you go into your system wallet in Coins of Change and take out all of your cryptocurrency and send it to your private wallet, just because Bitcoin is taking a real plunge and is losing. And it's not really a lot of people aren't getting into it. So that platform is only going to, it can't work without Bitcoin doing well or having momentum. So make sure you withdraw your crypto from there into your personal wallet so that it won't be sitting in a system wallet. Make sure you do that and do that as soon as you possibly can. Okay. If you need some help with that, definitely email me at wolf6pack1@gmail.com. So, we got Pastor Keith here that's going to co-host. I actually had to drag him into this. He definitely was feeling a little sleepy today and a little tired today, Pastor getting in his workout. So I had to drag him into studio to do the show today. And I didn't really have to drag him into it, but I'm going to say that. So, but I greatly appreciate his presence. So we're going to have a great live show for you today. Guess there's an active shooter that's going on in Maryland. So that's one of the things. So we're going to jump into what's in the news, and then we're going to get into today's show. But yeah, real quickly, there's a breaking news. This comes from Cerebrally Naive Network. Shooting with multiple victims reported in Maryland. There's a active shooter in the Harford County Sheriff's Office tweeted this morning, and I guess the FBI and the Baltimore Bureau of FBI and ATF is assisting in this active shooter that's going on there. So that's some of the things that's happening there so far. But let's get into today's show and what's in the news. Keith, what am I forgetting? Am I forgetting anything? No, I don't think I am. All right, so here we go. Part two, how the Syrian conflict ends the U.S. via the Nord Stream 2 is today's show. And so we're going to find out what is the Nord Stream 2 and why is it significant in everything else. So we're going to actually, I think Scotty is out on the road, so I'm going to play a video. You'll be able to hear it. It's pretty good. So I'll play a little part of a video, and we're going to take a look at that. Very important. And Keith, on what day was it? It was just the other day. It was on Tuesday. Tuesday, the Russian plane was shot down. Correct, right? So a couple of days ago, the Russian plane was shot down. And the day after the Russian plane was shot, it was on Monday, and then on Tuesday we talked about it. And I said that when Vladimir Putin said that it was a tragedy and everything else, I said that he was outmaneuvering the NATO nations. Was that an accident? A tragedy and an accident, Keith reminded me. Right. And I said that that was a smart play by him because he's going to do what? He's going to invoke a no-fly zone, and that would give him, so to avoid these accidents and to protect my troops, we're going to do a no-fly zone. And my assets, we're going to do a no-fly zone. Well, guess what comes out? Guess what's coming out? Guess what's unfolding? All of a sudden, Iran is sending Turkey some S-300 anti-aircraft assets. And in flying that in, they bring it in, and in order to establish that S-300 system, they need to have it some cover for it. But wait, let me see where it is actually going. Wait, let me fix this real quick for where I'm going with this. So what's happening is that sorry, I made a mistake. Iran is sending Syria the S-300. I said Turkey, didn't I? Yeah, made a mistake there. And I said, as soon as I said, wait a minute, what's happening? So Iran is flying in the S-300 anti-aircraft system to Syria. And guess what's happening from that? Vladimir Putin is saying, hey, we're having a no-fly zone. And then having a no-fly zone that establishes what? That prevents Israel from attacking the S-300 system that's being put into place, and he's putting up the actual no-fly zone for a short period of time because they know once they get that S-300 into Syria, guess what that means? That means that there isn't anything that Israel can fly in that won't be countermeasured. So once they put that S-300 system in, that's going to have its own no-fly zone because now they'll be able to forcefully protect themselves from anything that Israel does. This whole war paradigm is about to really, really ramp it up. So very important, and I put in an older article that there was a NATO general said that if Russia puts a no-fly zone up in Syria, that's an act of war. So guess what Russia's putting up now? A no-fly zone. Guess what a no-fly zone is going to happen? They're going to challenge it. Some military asset is going to get shot down. It doesn't matter if it's Israel's aircraft or Russian aircraft. One of these two entities are, if it's French, German, or the U.S. aircraft. They're going to come into direct confrontation with the no-fly zone, one of the NATO nations, and their planes are going to get shot down. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's multiples. And then you know what that's going to happen, right? All out from there on. And so what I think is going to – what I would say was going to happen is that Israel and the U.S. is going to have to make sure that that S-300 system doesn't get what? Put into place. So the Russians are going to try to – they have to have that S-300 put into place because this is their golden opportunity to get it there with the so-called moral high ground from their plane being shot down. Either way, they're going to get it there. But you take the moral high ground as the best path of least resistance. So they're going to try to put this system in. When they put this system in, it's a choice. Is Israel going to let them put that S-300 system in? Is the U.S. going to allow them to put that S-300 system in, knowing that they don't have the overall capability to mitigate the overall S-300 system? Are they going to allow them to put that in? Getting testy now. We're really getting close to it all. So here it comes, here it comes, here it comes. So,
Dave, I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
My question is, who was the person who said Syria will be the one actually declaring the no-fly zone? It's their country, right? So, but their allies are Iran and Russia. So who said if a no-fly zone is implemented, it's an act of war? Who said that?
That was, let me pull up the article, Scotty. I posted inside of BTR community.
I mean, I don't need its name, but what country?
It was an older article.
What country does this person represent?
Here we go. Top U.S. general.
Okay.
Warned Syria no-fly zone means war with Russia.
So is he living in an alternative? Is he living in an alternative universe or something where, where, you know, the truth is a lie or truth isn't really truth to talk about Giuliani? But, I mean, you're invading, you're illegally occupying that country.
Right.
You've already committed an act of war. Your allies are attacking a sovereign nation that has not attacked your allies. This is already an act of war. I'm like, do these people really? Well, I guess, yeah. I'm just answering my own question. Yes, the American people are that gullible.
Yes, it is. And so here's the article now. Scotty, this article goes back to September of 2016, almost 2 years ago to the date. And the article is Top U.S. General Warns Syrian No-Fly Zone Would Mean War with Russia. The enforcement of a no-fly zone, and this article, I'm sorry, came from World's let me move this up. World Socialist website, WSWS.org. In September of 2016, they had an article. Top U.S. general warned Syria no-fly zone means war with Russia. The enforcement of a no-fly zone in Syria means a U.S. war with both Syria and Russia, the top uniform command told Senate Arms Service Committee on Thursday. Major General Joseph Dunford, the chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff, spelled out the grave implications of the policies advocated by both predominant sectors within the Republican Party as well as the Democratic presidential candidate Clinton, because it goes back to there. Amidst rising violence in Syria and increasing pressure by Washington on the Russian government to unilaterally agree to grounding its own aircraft as well as those of the Syrian government. The celebrity Secretary of State at the time was John Kerry, had reportedly demanded that Russia adhere to what essentially to be a one-sided no-fly zone under conditions which U.S. warplanes could continue to carry out airstrikes. Kerry presented his proposal as a means for restoring credibility to create a ceasefire agreement that he and the Russian foreign minister negotiated on September the 2nd. The cessations of hostility collapsed less than a week after the implication of the end face in the face of hundreds of violations by the U.S.-backed Islamic rebels, which have refused to accept his terms, as well as two major back-to-back attacks. So what Dunford, let me go to what Dunford said really quickly. And it says here, quote, the U.S. position would reflect the testimony of both Dunford and Defense Secretary Carter, both before the Senate panel on Thursday. The general admitted to the committee, I don't have the facts as to what planes carried out the attacks, but quickly added, there is no doubt in my mind that the Russians are responsible. Similar, Carter declared, the Russians are responsible for the strikes, whether they conducted them or not. This is what the former Secretary of Defense said. And here's what it boils out to. Let me get to the quote. 1 second. Well, it's all there. I don't want to read the whole thing. But basically what Dunford said is that a no-fly zone in Syria means that there's a war with Russia, meaning that the U.S. is not going to adhere to that no-fly zone that Russia would put up, nor would Israel apply respect that no-fly zone. So that means that the entities are going to clash, have military clashings there, and then that's where it's going to blow up. And then where that, you know, where the aircraft confrontation, it could actually turn into a naval confrontation as well, because both sides, which the Russians and the NATO forces would try to use naval assets to augment and support their overall sorties or their aircraft attacks inside of Syria. And they, and the Russians would actually use their naval armada to defend. So now you got what? The overall platforms, the naval platforms are going to be coming under attack. So somebody's going to have their battleship sunk or their ship sunk in the Mediterranean. Once a ship is sunk, it's over. It's all out war. And the reason why, because no country could bear that overall brunt with their citizenry that their naval ship was sunk, because there's hundreds of people on a naval ship. So not going to go well. So that was one of the articles as to what's in the
Dave.
So, but
on the point you just made, remember the Six-Day War when the USS Liberty was sunk by the Israelis?
Yes.
And what did the U.S. do about it?
Yeah, that was their overall, the Gulf of Tonkin was their overall excuse to go into war with Vietnam.
But they didn't do anything when the USS Liberty, a reconnaissance naval ship, was monitoring the Six-Day War and the Israelis attacked it and knew it was a U.S. ship. And what did the U.S. do?
Right.
Nothing. Didn't do anything.
Nothing at all.
I can see a similar false flag happening with Israelis sinking another U.S. ship and seeing history repeat itself.
Yeah, I do. I can see that as well, Scotty. I definitely can see that, because all of the circumstances for another perfect false flag by all sides is definitely there. I wouldn't even put it past that when the Russian reconnaissance plane was up, that it could have been actually intentionally shot down. Definitely could have been. All of those things are possibilities. So yeah, so definitely is going on. And then OLG posted, Tillerson actually tried to work around in 2017 the U.S. to open to Syria a no-fly zone. Tillerson said to Cerebrally Naive Pose, and OLG put that politics. He actually put that in there. So yeah, this whole thing could really, 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 and it's going to. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time before this thing really jumps off into all out military confrontation that is only just going to grow. The difference between this and before is that in a lot of other campaigns, it was the U.S. versus a small country. This campaign is the U.S. actually coming up for the, really, if you really think about it, I don't know of any other time other than the Cuban Missile Crisis, but this is even bigger than the Cuban Missile Crisis because of the deployment in the strategical deployment in multiple places, because we're not just talking about Syria in the Mediterranean. We're talking about the Ukraine. We're talking about Djibouti. We're talking about other places in the Middle East. The dynamics are far more greater because there's multiple countries that are involved in this one. You're looking at the countries that are involved in this one. You're looking at Iran, Iraq. You're looking at Syria. You're looking at Turkey. You're looking at Israel. You're looking at Jordan. You're looking at the Ukraine. You're looking at China. You're looking at Russia. You're looking at France. You're looking at Germany. All of these players are in play here. The Cuban Missile Crisis was just between the U.S. and Russia, and the, you know, in Vietnam, it was a proxy war that the Russians were fighting with the Viet Cong. And I would say it wasn't the Vietnam War; it was actually the American War. America took the war to Vietnam, so that was the American War, not the Vietnamese War. They were defending themselves, so. It's the dynamics of this is much greater because it's now a full-fledged world war, because there's more than two countries that are involved on both sides, and it's direct, and this is direct. The Russians aren't funding or sending arms to Afghanistan to defeat the, or the U.S. isn't sending just arms to Syria like they did in Afghanistan to the Mujahideen to defeat the overall Russian presence that was there. This is actual U.S. military assets versus Russian assets versus Chinese assets versus Iranian assets. So this is the world war, and this one is much, much different than any other time before in history other than the actual world wars, World War I and World War II. So what we're looking at here is the dynamics of this is that this isn't just going to be a Syrian war or like with Vietnam. It was the Vietnam War, a.k.a. the American War. This is the Vietnam War should really have been classified the American War on Vietnam, because this one is also the American War on Syria. But the difference in the dynamics of this is much, much greater because of the overall direct military assets that are there. And it's a global war now because of just how deep this is. This is far worse than the Cuban Missile Crisis was going to be, because it was very easy to back out of the Cuban Missile Crisis. There's no way out of this one. There's no way out of this one unless the U.S. folds. And that's the only way around this one, in my estimations, because of some of the things that we're going to talk about in today's show, the Nordic Stream 2 being the significant part about that. So let me get into what's in the news, and then we're going to jump into the show. But anytime you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. All right, first article that I posted for today's show, part two, how the Syrian conflict ends the U.S. via Nordic Stream 2. First article posted from Cerebrally Naive Network. Maria's generation, Puerto Rican kids face harsh realities. Check out that from the Hurricane Maria. Next article, I got this from Criminal Broadcast Station News, commonly referred to as CBS News. Brian Stevenson seeks to help young readers understand mass incarceration. So check out that article, real good one there. Next article got from oilprice.com. Nordic Stream, Germany blinks first in ongoing European gas war. This is going to be a part of today's show for sure. Next article got from, this one came from Bloomberg. Let me pull this up real quick. And it says, China races to get toys and car parts to the U.S. before tariffs hit. Check out that article. as well. And I'm going to say this is very, very important. Everyone here that's listening to Tando Radio Show, just as China, I want to spin this, Keith, this article. China rushes to get toys and car parts to the U.S. before tariffs strikes. I want to spin this. And I want it to be a clue to people as to what's happening. It really should read, China is rushing to get, as it does, China is rushing to get toys and car parts to the States before the tariffs. But the significance of this is that it should also read this way. If I was the writer, I would write it the way they wrote it. Then I would put, so since China is rushing, you should be rushing to acquire assets and resources before the new tariffs hit. Because once the new tariffs hit, the overall supply lines that supply our neighborhoods, us individually and our families is going to be disrupted. And the goods aren't going to be here. So I think everyone here needs to take the clue that China is doing. They're rushing. So you should be rushing to acquire the essential things. Give up all of the consumerist ideology and tendencies that have been built up in you for years. Give those up immediately and transfer that consumerism into actually you acquiring assets. You are going to need to be economically sound. You can only be economically sound with assets, things that have real intrinsic value. So if China is rushing to get goods to the U.S., you should be rushing to acquire assets in the U.S. before the tariffs really go into a bigger stipulation. And this, when I read stuff like that, that's a clue to me that why are they rushing? If they're rushing about something, does that mean that I should be concerned and paying attention to something and have an equal response to it? And my overall response to that is yes, absolutely, and that's what I've been doing for a while. You should be doing it too. You should be rushing to acquire assets before the overall trade lines are disrupted and the goods are no longer here. So, and you're going to be competing against everyone for a few amount of goods. It's going to be a Black Friday mentality for the essentials of things. Get them now. You always prepare when no one else is doing it. Always prepare when everyone's attention is somewhere else. It'll be cheaper and easier for you to get what you need. Wait until everybody else needs it and wants it. Guess what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to fight with them for their needs and for their wants. You don't want to do that. So check out that article. Next article.
Hey, Dave, before you...
Before
you move on, I was reading yesterday, though, that China doesn't really import that many U.S. goods. The things that they import is like pork. They eat a lot of pork in China, and that's why the farmers here in the United States and you know, the meat industry, they're concerned about these tariffs because China is a big market for them. But in other consumer goods and things of that nature, China has the advantage because they export more goods like electronics, you know, just about everything. Well, I shouldn't say everything, but I mean, Chinese goods, they have a bigger share of the market. Now, it will hurt them. Yeah. It will hurt them in that, hey, they won't be bringing in that much revenue because if prices go up on consumer items and what have you, then, you know, it'll hurt them. But in terms of what they import, they don't import a lot of U.S. goods. They just import, you know, mainly pork, you know, to help feed the people or whatnot. But, I feel like they could find, a replacement for that easier than the United States. And then another thing that was key that I heard somebody say is that if this hits during Christmas, man, it's gonna have a lot of retailers who are in trouble. it said it depends on how much they have already stocked up in their warehouses, you know, because, like, I've heard other people say that businesses, Christmas is so important to the United States economy because they really don't make money throughout the year. They make most of their money on that one single holiday. And if these prices go up on these goods and it reflects in the prices during Christmas, that it could be a political disaster for Donald Trump and the Republicans.
Yes, Scott, he's absolutely right, and we actually have to need to do a show on that itself. So true. And you know, remember now the pork, the swine market has really been adversely impacted by Hurricane Florence. Big time. So, and we're going to talk about that as well, since Scotty brought that up. But what Scotty said was absolutely so true and very important. I hope everyone really grasped what he was saying. So we're going to get back to what's in the news. Next article from RT International. White people now are the biggest ethnic group arrested for terrorism, for terrorist offense in the UK. White people are now the biggest ethnic group arrested for terror offenses in the UK. So check out that article as well. Next article I got from oilprice.com. Mexico aims to become the energy hub of Latin America. The energy hub of Latin America. So this is very, very important because this all has everything to do with how things are going to unfold. This is a very, very important article. It goes along pretty much with today's show, which we're probably going to have a couple of parts to it. Next article from Criminal Broadcast Station. And it says, people are trying to kill each other. Woman describes the chaos in Wilmington after Hurricane Florence. Check out that article. People are trying to kill each other. Woman describes the chaos in Wilmington after Hurricane Florence. So this is where people go from civilized to feral when you don't have the necessities. Next article from RT International. Satellite pictures show serious air strikes on, satellite pictures show Syria strike as Israel's Air Force chief goes to Moscow to explain the IL-20 incident. Check out that article. Next article from South China Morning Post. Trade is good for Trump. Never mind America. Trade war is good for Trump. Never mind America. Check out that article. Next article from oilprice.com. It's a very significant one. Anything posted from oil price is always very, very significant to you. Why oil markets can't escape OPEC, Russian influence. Check out that article. Next article, this one comes from Press TV. Hezbollah now has precision rockets to Israel's dismay. So check out that article. Next article, got from Business Insider. Congress is powerless to stop the most obvious way that they could get hacked by foreign states. Check out that article. Next article, this was the article we talked about. Top general warns Syria no-fly zone means war with Russia. Next article, I posted this one from Reuters. U.S. ready to resume North Korean talks. Seeks denuclearization by 2021. Check out that article. And believe me, North Korea is playing the fiddle, boy. They really are making themselves extremely irrelevant, and they're winning at every turn on this whole thing, which it should be, in my overall opinion. Next article comes from oilprice.com. Russia's peak production could be just 3 years away. Now, and this is peak production in oil. Now, this would explain why the importance of the Nord Stream 2. Remember this article, very, very important. It's a strategical article that tells you, and it basically tells you, Keith, is that Russia is all in on this war. They have to be. They're all in on this war. They have to be. Next article from Press TV. U.S. has a history of reneging on its commitments. Like we need to be told that. But you know what? So many people ignore that. And I'm talking about not from outside the U.S., even with outside the U.S., but people within the U.S. They ignore this truth and because they've been the benefits of it. See, when something doesn't hurt you, Keith, you said something that was so powerful. And it was basically, it was about where a problem doesn't become a problem. A problem doesn't become relevant until it adversely affects you. And I don't remember exactly what it was that you said, Keith, but that basically was it, is that most people don't see things as a problem because it doesn't directly adversely affect them. So they think by the time it does negatively adversely affect them, it's too late for them to do what? Put themselves in a different position of advantage, because we were all naive. What you don't know, you don't know. But when it comes to different things that's happening, the ramifications of those things happening, the problems, like we see that there's problems. Most people here know that there's other problems that they know. Excuse me. They know that there's problems in other parts of the world. And we don't give the appropriate attention to it because it doesn't harm us.
They don't care.
They don't care because it doesn't. But see, that overall don't care attitude, it always catches up to create a sore butt. It never, ever, ever fails. It never, ever, ever fails. And see, that happens on it, you know, from day to day on thing, and things accumulate. So nothing has happened so far, so we get so comfortable, and then boom, the trap gets sprung. So check out that. Next article, this from Russia Insider. And this was a little older article, but I think it's really important as well. Russia, and this is Nikki Haley, says, quote, "Russia will never be our friend. We'll slap them when needed," U.S. envoy to the U.N. Nikki Haley actually said that. This is going to be real. "Russia will never be our friend. We'll slap them when needed."
Can we be that stupid?
Oh, absolutely. Keith said, "Can we be that stupid?" And I said, "Oh, absolutely." So check out that. Next article from Business Insider. "Trump doesn't care if North Korea has nukes as long as they're not pointed at the U.S. Check out that article. Next article from Business Insider as well. "China unexpected moves during the huge war games with Russia shows their relationship is still uneasy." Remember, and I've always said that after they get rid of the U.S., a couple of years later, maybe 10 years later, and definitely anticipate Russia and China going to war against each other. And here's the kind of the play that's there. Very, very important. But first, they need to take care of the U.S. Next article, got this one from Business News. Got this one from Bloomberg News. Pig excrement spilled into the North Carolina flood waters. And I wanted to put that up because of this. We know about that. We heard about that. But here's the next article is significant. This article comes from Around the World, 24hour.com. Bill Gates, "The next threat of a disease X global pandemic is real." Remember yesterday when Keith talked about Keith made mention of Bill Gates and his depopulation, how blunt and blatant he is in talking about it. Well, This threat of disease X that he's talking about, disease X, a global pandemic, is very real. And let me tell you, one of the things I know about what they like to do with pandemics, they like to start them off with pigs. They love to start them off with pigs. Why they love to start them off with pigs is because the pig and the human anatomy is so similar. In my estimations, from what I believe, is that the pig is actually a clone of a human. This is why, if you ever look at a pig's, this, you heard a pig face? Have you ever looked at a pig's eyes? They look just like a human's eye. And if you ever look at the organs, what do they always use in that the body won't reject organs? They get them from pigs, skin, heart, and everything else. Why? Because the body doesn't recognize that as a foreign intrusion that it needs to attack. So that's why I don't eat swine. I don't believe in cannibalism. You're eating people. So, but this is significant because I definitely think that the eugenics definitely will use the overall pig situation as a way to get into it. And one thing that the U.S. does export all over the world is pigs. It's pigs. So, definitely. Next article, Rise posted this from Freedom Post. Destroying America, the U.S. debt will hit $99 trillion by the year 2028. No, that's not true. Excuse me, 2048. No, that's not true. Great post in Raj. And hear me out when I say, no, that's not true. The article says, destroying America, the U.S. debt will hit $99 trillion by 2048. No, 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 no. The U.S. debt will not hit $99 trillion because there will be no United States by 2048. Don't think there'll be a United States by 2030. He said he don't think it'll be one by 2021. I'll give it to 2021, but maybe. But it will definitely, I don't think it will ever hit 90 trillion. One, it'll be too small of a nation with no influence to be able to have that type of debt. No one will allow them to have that type of debt because one, the untied states of America. Great article though, Raj. It's just showing the path of where things are going, the trend of where things are going. But it won't be a United States by 2048. It'll be the untied states. There may be a United States, but it won't have 51 states or the number of states that it has. It has 50, but and then I think 50, but in the one territory. Puerto Rico, which is trying to apply for statehood, but no, won't have. Texas won't be here in the United States. California, Nevada, Utah,
Arizona,
a couple other states, all the states with real resources will be gone. So, great article, Roz. Roz, next article posted from Freedom Post Outpost. Most trusted man in America, Walter Cronkite. I'm glad to sit at the right hand of Satan. Yep. And Rise posted, fake news is what journalism was always designed to do. Fool the masses and protect the powerful. This is a good article, Rise says. Most trusted man in America, Walter Cronkite. I'm glad to sit at the right hand of Satan. There you go. Next article from Freedom Post, Rise posted this one again. The global war against Donald Trump. Next article from RD, Reader's Digest, household items that are literally poisoning your air. Yes, very important, that one. Next one, article Rise posted from South China Morning Post. And he said, the next real war, the polls comes out. The bomb planes and tanks come out, and the armies get busy. China runs out of U.S. goods to tax. So what's next in the trade war? Check out that article. Great article there, Rise. Next one from The Conversation is Rise posted this one. Microplastics are getting into mosquitoes and contaminating new food chains. Check out that article. And the last article, Rise posted from Freedom Outpost, is violence the new normal? Is violence the new normal? Yes, absolutely. So we're going to get into today's show. And today's show is, the name of today's show, and if you'd like to get in on it, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. Today's show is how the Syrian conflict ends the United States via the Nord Stream 2. So we're going to jump into that. And what I want to do, got 15 minutes, I want to play this video. Scotty, I don't know, I thought you were traveling. If you could just, I posted the a video there and and we could just play 5 minutes of that video. About 10 minutes of that video is about the pipeline, and then I'm gonna come in with the Nord Stream, and then we'll talk about this. We'll greatly appreciate it. So whenever you're ready, we'll go to that. Now, while Scotty is doing that, here's what.
Thousands of steel pipes are piling up at the northeast German port of Mukran. They're intended for use in the planned Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which will bring Siberian natural gas to Europe. Russia already meets about a third of Europe's natural gas needs, but the new pipeline through the Baltic Sea has emerged as a flashpoint. At stake are questions of power and independence, both geopolitical and economic. It's a bitter dispute, which threatens to sow fresh divisions in the European Union. The strategic contest over natural gas and power has unspectacular origins. Europe has grown used to a secure supply of energy, but that energy security isn't a given. From Berlin to Brussels, from Washington to Moscow, a geopolitical game over energy supplies is underway. Europeans may have become complacent about the issue, but energy prices have always had political significance.
Energy is incredibly important to our lives. It's something we can all experience in our own homes. It has a crucial impact on economic development. Energy prices have helped in growth rates and helped determine whether your industries are competitive. Ultimately, energy matters are also matters of war and peace.
The new pipeline is to run parallel to the existing Nord Stream 1 pipeline, extending from Vyborg, Russia, to the town of Lubmin in northeastern Germany. The new Baltic pipeline could soon transport up to 110 billion cubic meters of natural gas every year, equivalent to the annual combined consumption of France, the Netherlands, and Poland. The Swiss canton of Zug is known as a tax haven. It's home to the Nord Stream Consortium, a subsidiary of Russian energy giant Gazprom. The consortium is owner and operator of the planned Baltic pipeline. Its CEO is Matthias Warnich, who presided over the construction of the first Baltic pipeline.
Our company, our team, has a very clear goal. We plan to do everything possible to ensure that by late 2019, early 2020, the natural gas will begin flowing through this pipeline.
Gazprom wants a second pipeline because it believes European consumption of natural gas will continue to rise. That's a view shared by the project's European partners, Germany's BASF Wintershall and Uniper, France's Engie, Austria's OMV, and the Anglo-Dutch group Royal Dutch Shell. They're all counting on the project to deliver sizable profits. Former German Chancellor Gerhard Schröder heads the shareholders' committee of Nord Stream 2. Schröder, who used to lead the Social Democratic Party, says the project is more than just an energy deal.
Wir wissen doch aus unserer eigenen Geschichte, dass es in Europa immer ein friedliches Miteinander gab.
As we know from our own history, whenever relations were difficult between Russia and Europe, and especially between Russia and Germany, things went badly. That's why it's high time to begin collaborating more closely again on economic issues in particular. That might also help ease what we might call, to put it cautiously, our current political confrontation.
In Germany, the former chancellor has come under fire for lobbying on behalf of Russian interests. Gerhard Schröder and Russian President Vladimir Putin, shown here at the inauguration of Nord Stream 1, are close friends. Shortly before leaving office, Schröder approved plans for the first pipeline. Soon after he stepped down, he accepted the offer of a senior position at the company.
I'm really tired of talking about it. I'm trying to do what's reasonable and sensible, what serves German interests. That's what I did in office, and that's what I'm doing now.
Gerhard Schröder isn't the only Nord Stream official who has close ties to Putin. CEO Matthias Warnich also shares a formative history with the former Soviet counterintelligence officer.
Ich bin in der DDR aufgewachsen, war überzeugt.
I grew up in the former East Germany and was a committed communist. I worked in foreign intelligence, in espionage, for the Stasi, the Ministry for State Security. After the fall of the communist regime and East Germany, that had an obvious effect on my personal life. That's a common bond, which helps us understand one another.
State-controlled Gazprom and its Western European partners have already invested some 10 billion euros in the project. The profits generated by Russia's energy giants are absolutely vital to the country's economy. The Kremlin calls the shots at Gazprom, which has some 450,000 employees. The company is not just a financial lifeline. It's also an instrument of geopolitical power and influence.
You there, Dave?
Yes, I'm here. Okay, so, one second. Okay, so, I wanted you to hear some of that, and I would definitely suggest that everyone really take a look at that whole, I'm going to post it inside of VTR community. Nintendo page. That actual is a good documentary on what's really happening. And it goes from Nordic 1 to Nordic 2. And Nordic 2 is significant because of the Cenarium portion of it all. Now, I hope you were able to pay attention to a lot of the things that were being said. And basically what was being said was the strategical importance that relationship between Russia and Germany was very, very important. And if you heard in the beginning, he talked about how oil has always had strategic importance in their history. And their history that they're talking about is war. Going to war, being able to sustain a war and being able to win a war or defend off an attacker of war. It all was always based around oil, the ability to that. And the history that Russia and Germany had is that the Germans invaded France to take their oil to be able to engage a war with Russia and Europe and take over Europe and then be able to defeat England. That's what the overall, and they almost accomplished it. The Germans had to use horses because they didn't have the overall oil to have their mechanized units go, and that's why they froze in Russia.
Also, that's what bogged them down in Africa.
More importantly, was their horsemen, right? And their lack of oil to be able to extend the overall war. So this is very, very important. If you hear the bombs, the former chancellor of Germany is a personal friend of Putin. So what does that say? That Russia and Germany ties to each other are inseparable. Remember, Keith, it was earlier last week I had said I wouldn't be, when Germany said that they would engage in if Syria used chemical weapons, they would engage. And I said that was a Trojan horse.
Yeah.
See, Germany is sending their naval armada there as a NATO member to get there. But I definitely suspect that there'll be a NATO adversary once the shooting starts. And what substantiates and validates this is the overall relationship with Putin. Putin speaks perfect German. This is why whenever him and Merkel get together, he speaks to her in pure German. You know why that is? It's a relationship thing. It's purely a relationship thing. So this is very, very significant and important, because this is going to be what actually brings about the demise, much faster demise of the U.S. than otherwise would happen. These agreements between Gazprom and Europe, now Europe is so dependent. Europe is about to go through Brexit and everything else. So the Britain in the EU, European Union, they're at big odds now. They're at big, big odds. And one of the real underlying odds that they're all at is the energy. The energy is the cusp of a lot of this. And now, NS2 goes through Syria, is going to go through Syria from Iran into Syria and into the Mediterranean and into Russia and then move into Europe to provide the natural gas pipeline. And guess who's not a part of the NS2? The U.S. isn't, and nor is any of their cohorts in controlling the resource of oil. And this is why it's going to have to go to war. And one of the things with Iran is that they're going to try to destroy all that infrastructure. But that's all right, because they'll destroy the infrastructure. But guess what these countries will do? They'll rebuild it and make the U.S. rebuild it, because they destroyed it when they lose the war. One of the reparations of war is that, all right, you destroyed that. Guess who's going to have to build it? But when they build it, they're going to, I could definitely see them making the U.S. rebuild, or the former United States rebuild those assets off of their dime, off of them paying for it economically and in labor. Boy, it's going to be deep. Listen, we got to get ready to go to a commercial break. Scotty, give me 2 minutes, 2 minutes on a commercial break, or 3 minutes on a commercial break. Greatly appreciate it. Listen, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, we're going, when we come back, I want to read something to you and talk about this Nordic, the NS1 and NS2, why you need to know it, especially if you have family members in the military, because this is going to be one of the things that you definitely need to know so that you will prepare and see the handwriting on the wall. And it's over what the handwriting is saying. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. And I hope you all got that video and listened to some of the very important things as we're talking about why Syria in the Nordic Stream 1 deal and 2 deal is so significant and is really going to be about the demise of what we commonly refer to as the U.S. and how that plays out. If you notice in the video, the former chancellor of Germany professed to be one of Putin's best friends, but after he left office, he started to work as an executive at Gazprom, one of the largest oil companies in Russia. He became an executive, Keith, at Gazprom, the former chancellor of Germany. And if you heard him when he says, I'm tired of talking about this. And what was he tired of talking about? What are you doing working for Gazprom? And he says, I'm tired of talking about this. When I was in public office, I was just trying to do what's best for Germany. And in my private life now, in my private endeavors, I'm still doing what's in the best interest of Germany. Do you hear what's really being said there? He's saying what's in the best interest of Germany. Did he come and try to work in the U.S. to fight terrorism? Did he come to the U.S. to try to work at NASA like they got the Nazis from Operation Paperclip? No, he didn't do it. This time, the flight of ingenuity from Germany is not going to the U.S. like they did in the past in to NASA. Now the flight of ingenuity is going where? To Russia. And this has a lot of historical significance. It's going to play out. It's telling you who's going to win. It's telling you who's going to win. He said, in my public office, I did what's best for Germany. In my private office, I'm still trying to do what's in the best interest of Germany. And that's to be at Gazprom, an executive at Gazprom. So it just speaks about and lays evidence to the old historical ties, rebinding and repackaging a different deal. Same outcome, but just a different deal on this one. So I think Keith wanted to chime in. You want to chime in, Keith?
Yeah.
Hold one sec. Let me set up. One sec. Let me mute myself and bring you in. Hold on one sec.
You know what I think is so ultimately disgusting about this whole thing, Dave, is as I read about technology today and the technology shift, that was real important, that what you were saying about their guard to Russia, because just like in April, they said, you know what, United States, and in April, you're no longer the piggyback ride with us in our space thing, because we're on top of this. You guys don't even have a way to go into space. Well, the other thing that I was talking about was how technology, and we talked about the fact that so much of this technology is coming out of Africa. You know, we talked about the highest paid robotic engineer right now is coming out of Africa. We talked about the fact that they have this windmill that just vibrates, which is so advanced, coming out of Africa. We're talking about these bricks and everything that is being manufactured from wasted plastics in the sea that's coming out of Africa. So you have this whole technology shift being shifted away where all of it used to be the United States. But the other thing that struck me as curious is, as I started thinking about this, what you were talking about, this mad rush for petroleum. Everybody's got this mad rush for petroleum. So if you think about it, you have to ask yourself, why the mad rush for petroleum? Because at this point in time, we can supply almost all our energy needs without fossil fuels. The only thing that I can't see being replaced without fossil fuels right now is military might. Almost the only thing that we need this fossil fuels for is for the military. But yet, all attention from all the countries is being placed on petroleum. And that's really a shame.
Yeah, Keith, that's so true. It's the technology for us to be a class one society is there. And a class one society is a society that doesn't use, it doesn't have to destroy to create energy to sustain itself. You know, there's other living entities throughout this universe that probably don't need to kill anything to have the necessary power to do what it is that they need. When you use oil, you're killing the planet. And most people say, well, you're killing the planet from pollution and that part. No, but the most direct way that you're killing the planet is that you're taking the blood out of the planet. You know, oil is the lifeblood of this planet, just like your blood is the lifeblood of your overall physical body. Oil is the lifeblood of the physical body of the planet. Our planet, in my estimation, is just like us. It has a spirit. It is a living being, right? It resonates because I know of nothing that the great creator has ever made that isn't living. It doesn't live. And there's a mechanism or a way in which it lives. So the oil that's there, look at what it does. It does the same, if you really look at it, it does the same thing that your blood does. That's what oil does, you know, in so many ways and fashions. So we're killing the planet by taking the oil out of it. That's not what the design of it was, but because it's so powerful and intrinsic value of it is so great, you can use it for nefarious means. And it's still powerful. So you're absolutely right. And we don't need to do that. We really need to develop. And one of the things that I see is that the global conflict turns an opportunity for us as the general people of the world is to say no longer will we engage in that form of governance paradigm. We're not going back to that because haven't we seen enough of what this produces? How many more wars, Keith? How much more disease? How much more poverty? How much more famine? How much more destruction do we need to see before we get wise enough to the clue that maybe we're doing something wrong? And maybe we're promoting something that's wrong. Maybe we're putting ourselves in this position, maybe we're our own worst enemy.
Absolutely.
And until we come to that real grip and realization, because then the system has got everyone so thoroughly indoctrinated that this is the only thing that they know, and then the first thing they say, well, what other way can we do? Because you're so indoctrinated, you can't conceive and think of a way of something different. Man, Rockefeller said, I don't want a nation of thinkers, I want a nation of workers. And that's what a worker would say. Well, what else can we do? Because they're not a thinker. A thinker will look at the problem and apply various methods to it to induce a solution. You try this, you try that. Oh, that didn't work. Oh, I learned this from that. So now I could take a bit of this, but I can't use all of that. You know, so what do? You start to do different things, and then you find what some best practices. You develop a from your body of work. You look at your body of work, and you look at what were the best practices to tackle a problem, and then you create a solution. You can only think your way from that from the beginning to the end. That is a thinker's mentality. A worker's mentality is that they wait on orders. A worker and a soldier and a slave is no different. They all have to take orders. And it's beyond me, Chief, when it comes to this. But we know what the problem is, and now we really do know what the solution is. But will we really commit ourselves to that? That's the true question. And Keith wants to chime in. One sec, Keith. Let me mute myself and get you in.
All right. Now, with this, I'm going to have to go down a whole different transient, a whole different path. And it gets... We know that there's an element that doesn't want these things that we quote uncall good. They don't even want that. That's not desired to them. For in case of point is what you just said, Rockefeller. Look, Rockefeller was intelligent enough to understand everything he said and the effects of what he said. He didn't want that. He wanted what he knew was going to be expedient to put him on top, the heck with everybody else. And we have to deal with that element. So I think what has to happen is we have to change our mindset. And we talked about this somewhat yesterday. The people have a desire deep on the inside to do the right thing, even though they're covered up by everything on the outside to do the bad thing. It's going to be the few that recognize that they truly want on the inside the good of all, but they are the minority. But they still have the power to change it. The thing is, we have to become way more active to make a change. Unfortunately, we're content and talking about it from time to time, but we're not actively pursuing what it takes to change these things. You can see this, the power of it in what we call grassroots movements. You know, if you looked at this last election when all those teachers came out en masse, they were by far the minority. But if they come out en masse in an organized manner, they can change projection of things. I guess the question is, what are we willing to do? Where, how do we need to go about to change it? Because it's not going to change on its own. The people that are on top, unfortunately, are the Rockefellers. The people that are on top, unfortunately. You know, I heard a comment with, and I don't want to put it this way, well, I'm going to say it, Republicans and Democrats. And Obama said, you know what the deal is? The deal is we're willing to go for the head blows, whereas the Democrats want to fight with pillows. I think the problem is most of us also want to fight with pillows.
Well, y'all, you heard Pastor Keith was starting to preach there. He's talking about society being pillow fighters. That, and I couldn't, it's so true, you know, Keith, there's a lot of truth to that. Until we put actions to different things, and I would say, well, someone will say, well, how do you do that? Very easy. It starts with you first. And it has to start with you first, because that's the most important intrinsic point of success. It starts with the individual. We have to say, no, I'm not going to engage in this because this is the wrong energy. This is the wrong thing for me to put my energy in, regardless of if it's going to be beneficial to just me or not beneficial to just me, regardless of how small of an impact I think that that's going to be. It's the principle of the whole thing. It's the spirit of the law that I want to uphold and not to be bound by the overall rewards of the letter of the law. You do things from yourself individually. You change. We have to start the change first in the way that we think. We're going to have to detox ourselves from everything that we've been taught and then replenish what we've lost. We're going to have to detox what we've been taught and replenish what we've lost. That process, and I think what happens is that we look for immediate solutions. And when we look for immediate solutions, you're always going to look to the system to provide that immediate solution because that's what they've indoctrinated us to always gravitate toward. The overall, remember yesterday when Hillary said they have a long-term plan? See, because we are living in a short-term, because we live as enslaved to this economy, everything with us is short term. I can't make it, you know, it's got to be done right now. We don't have a long term commitment to anything. And when you have a long term commitment to anything, that means that you're going to be willing to endure whatever the adversities are. You're just going to stay focused on your long. You don't need to have the reward right now. You don't need to win the race right now. You don't need to get to the overall finish line right now. The overall journey itself and being you being self-sustaining and self-determining, that's reward enough. And then you build on that one at a time. That's what this system of subjugation had to do. What makes us think that the process in order for us to get to as influential as this system is, which we should do, why wouldn't it have to go through that same process? They have the same will that we have. It's no different. What are you using that will for? So
our ancestors understood that.
Yeah, he said our ancestors understood that. And yes, but it's important for us to understand that. You're right, Keith, they did understand that. And when you say our ancestors, we got to look at how far back, you know, has it gone? Because still some of that remnants is that we haven't lost it all yet, you know? And like you were saying, our ancestors understood and did that. And there are some things, some ancestral things that we definitely need to adhere to. There's some ancestral things we need to not to adhere to. And so, but the most important thing is where we are. One of the things I'm going to tell you with Keith and Keith, I absolutely cherish him because it's a matter of, okay, what are we going to do? Let's put something in plan. Let's put something in action here. And we both know, he has his methods to get to the same objective. I have my methods to get to the same objective. So we always focus on the objectives. The methods is another opportunity. Because some methods are going to work, some aren't going to work. But if we all have our different methods, we're darn sure a lot more is going to work than what failed. So very important. So now, in the show with this, I want to bring to you some things about the pipeline. There was an article, and I want to read this from you, and it's from Strategic Culture. U.S. Energy Secretary visits Moscow, threatens and accusations, uses of foreign policy tools. The U.S. Secretary of Energy, and I will say this, this is the whole war right here. The celebrity figurehead U.S. Secretary of Energy, Rick Perry, visited Moscow from September 11th to September the 13th, about a week ago, to hold talks with Russian Russian's deputy minister and minister of finance and energy, after discussing of a wide range of problems, what do you think those wide range of problems were? The U.S. probably went in there and said, hey, this is what you're going to do in Syria. This is what you're going to do with gas in Europe. This is what you're going to do here, because this is what we're going to do, and we're not budging off of that. And if you don't play by our rules, we're going to show you that we come right now. I'm coming, he said to them in most arrogant American diplomatic way. I'm coming here to bring you the olives of peace, but let you know in my other hand I have the arrows of war. He probably threw a U.S. note on there and turned it on his upside down and had the overall, the eagle. If you know anything about an eagle, it's a scavenger. If you know anything about the corporation of the United States, it's a scavenger. So he offered the olives of peace, with the arrows of war being in the other talon. And I'm pretty sure they laughed at him. And my overall response is that, you know the thing about the bald eagle? You know the thing about the bald eagle, Keith? Is that it's a big, big, huge, powerful, how powerful bird. But you know about the bald eagle? It has an insatiable appetite. It's easy to kill. Real easy to kill. And what they're doing here is they're killing the eagles. They're going to not only have the bald eagle up at the head, they're going to skin this eagle completely. So goes on, here, article goes on. After discussing a wide range of problems, the parties agreed to restart the dormant U.S.-Russian energy working group to address issues of common interest and disagreement. It was emphasized that the two energy superpowers should maintain their points of contact in order to ensure the stability of the world's energy market. Let me stop right there. It was emphasized that the two energy superpowers should maintain their points of contact in order to ensure the stability of the world's market. Do you know what that means? They already know that they are at such odds that they'll be going to war with each other. That's what this is saying. They're going to be going to war together, but let's keep our communication lines open, because when we go to war, the whole world's energy is going to be called into question, is going to be threatened and destabilize. That's what they're saying here. This is where points of contact. What is points of contact? Meaning other points are going to be broken, but not all points of contact should be. Let's maintain this point of contact, because the overall conflict is going to be so severe. But the visit also confirmed the fact that intimidation and accusations remain the main foreign policy tools of all top U.S. officials kept at the ready. Once again, I bet you slapped that dollar bill on the table, and then you know what they probably did? Threw a gold bear on the table. Your paper is worthless. But goes on. Listen. The secretary reiterated the administration's opposition to the Nord Stream 2 undersea gas project. See, this gas project is going to go from Iran into Syria, into the sea, and then come out through Crimea. Why? Russia annexed Crimea through the Ukraine and everything else, and then it goes into Europe, and it probably will splinter off in different places underneath the sea and everything else, right? So he confirmed during the press conference that Washington would impose sanctions against Russian you ready for this? He confirmed during the press conference that Washington would impose sanctions against the Russian-German pipeline in order to maximize, or in order to minimize Europe's dependency on Moscow. Oh, if that ain't fighting words. Remember, everyone, when I said that the reason why celebrity figurehead Trump got out of the Iranian nuclear deal, it wasn't because of Iran. It was to hurt and cripple Germany. Hear this one more time. From now that we say that, now you see the context that's being placed here. The secretary reiterated the administration's opposition to the Nordic Stream 2 undersea gas project. He confirmed during the press conference that Washington would impose sanctions against the Russian-German pipeline in order to minimize Europe's dependency on Moscow. Why would they want to minimize Europe's dependency on Moscow? Because they want to keep Europe dependent and under their overall control of the U.S. And guess what? They don't need to do that anymore. See, when you have resources, what need do you have for a boss? They're basically saying we're going to get more resources, so we won't need you. But there will be a dependency on Russia. But what is Russia going to do? Here's what I think is going to do. Russia is going to integrate itself into the European Union like never before. Why is Russia going to do that? Because Russia knows after they handily defeat the U.S., now comes the real challenge, the war with China. The war with China. See, one of the things about having a long-term goal, they already know they've already defeated the U.S. That ain't their goal no more. Surviving that one, that's not the one that matters no more. That's already done. That's already cooked, served, and you're digesting that one now. The real appetite that could choke you is that China deal. This is why China is ensuring their overall relationship with Africa. Well, they're imposing their will there in South America. Who in South America and in Central America? Mexico. The article we put in oil pipeline, Mexico wants to be a hub of energy. Who is Mexico aligned? See, they're aligning themselves up. The Russians realize that the first relationship that we have to mend with is the Anglo relationship out of Europe. We get that. They're ultimately going to move into to annexing in alliance with the UK. Oh, man, this stuff is going to be so huge. We're talking about the next generation battle that's going to be fought here. See, this is long term. See, when you think long term, you can set yourself up for perpetuity. Short-term goals, you just need to be able to survive the moment. This is where you eat a bunch of candy, a bunch of food with no real substance, empty calories. See, short-term is empty calories. Long-term, you need nutrition to be able to do it. If you want to go somewhere quickly, go by yourself. Right? If you want to get somewhere quickly, go by yourself. But if you're going to go a long way, you're going to need the support of a lot of people. Remember that, Key? You want to go somewhere quickly? Go by yourself. But if you're going to go on a long journey, bring other people with you. This is what's happening here. So let's go back to this. Well, listen, let's go to a commercial break. We're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back out of it, we'll take a look at this, and the setup is all here. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Do Keith, did you want to say something real quick about?
No.
Okay. So here we go. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. And I just want to show the importance of what's going on in the NS1 deal and the NS2 deal. And that's the overall energy deals that's going to supply energy for Europe and then the Middle East and then Africa. And then that overall pipeline is going to spread itself out, you know, all over the place, because one of the things that is probably going to be do is they're going to say it's probably more efficient instead of having tankers delivering to have a continuous flow of the overall resources. So let's get back into the show. But if you'd like to get in, have a question, a comment, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 704-802-5056. Now, some may say, Dave, what does this have to do with us? It has everything to do with you and yourself, your family, and our overall community, because these are the things, these actual structures of these deals, they're actually at the table of negotiation, but what's being served is that they're serving you at that table, at that dinner table. You're what's on the menu. What was that old commercial? Pork, the other white meat?
No.
Well, they have the other meat that's similar to pork, that's related to pork, known as human flesh, that they're serving at these tables. And at being at that table, if you're not on the ends and you're not there to represent your overall interest, that means that you're being served to everybody. So this is why this is so important and significant, because this is what's going to have an effect within our community, our families, and us individually. So if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. So the article goes on and it continues. Rick Perry expressed his disappointment and concern about the Russians' continued attempt to infiltrate the American electric grid. He did not specify precisely what his accusations were based on. The FBI and Department of Homeland Security issued a joint report in March, which said since at least March of 2016, the Russian government's cyber actors targeted government entities in multiple U.S. critical infrastructure sectors, including the energy, nuclear, commercial facilities, water, aviation, and critical manufacturing sectors. Let's stop there. See, the war is real. And this war isn't just going to be fought on the battlefield. It's going to be fought in the energy, nuclear, commercial facilities, water, aviation, and critical manufacturing sectors. In so-called, the Russians have already gained the upper hand on that already. And what he said, the American infiltrating the American electrical grid. We actually had an article that we posted in Tando for today's show that spoke about how, and this one came out of, I think it was out of Bloomberg. Let me remember quick the article that I posted. Where was it? Real quickly. Come on, Dave. And I believe it was out of Bloomberg. Yes, it was. And it was. I'm gonna post it somewhere in there today. Let me check. And how the U.S. how Congress was laid vulnerable to the overall attack. There it is. And this one came from Business Insider. Congress is powerless to stop the most obvious way they can get hacked by foreign states. See, this is all setting up. They're gonna tell you what's gonna happen. They're telling you what's happening. So the article goes on. The report did not contain meaningful evidence. Why didn't it contain meaningful evidence? Because they already know that they didn't want to put that type of evidence out. So they're telling Russia, we know it's you. Not only see the cyber attack thing with the Russia gate and everything else, tapping into the election, and everything else. That's really nothing more than cyber. The intrusion came cyberly. The intrusion on the electrical grid is cyber leak. The intrusion to destabilize the banking sector, which the bank ourselves, in my opinion, are going to do it themselves and then blame it on Russia, because plausible deniability is a powerful, powerful tool. But it's still, and in all, guess what? Your overall account will still be the zero. Regardless of who did it, your dependency on that account, if you're dependent on that account, will have a marked adverse effect on you. So Keith wanted to chime in real quick. One sec, Keith. Let me unmute myself, and get you in. Hold on.
Dave, what I think is very interesting about what you just said about what the banks are going to do it and they're going to blame it on somebody else, why that struck a chord with me is because you just said that they said that they're concerned about the Russians being able to attack our voting system, et cetera, et cetera. So if they're that concerned about it, why did they take a unanimous vote and turn down any actions to curtail that? In other words, they have money set aside to combat that situation, and they actively voted against using that money to bridge up or shore up their defenses against this. So how are you going to say, well, we're real concerned about being attacked, but we're not going to build any walls, we're not going to store up our military, we're not going to put anything in place to prevent that attack, slow down that attack, or do anything about that attack. We're just going to let it happen. To me, that sounds like a contradiction. That's too obvious. And there's got to be some kind of reason behind it.
You know, and Keith, just to that point, I meant to post this earlier, and once you said that, it reminded me. So this one came out from September the 14th of 2018. Senators expedite vote to create Department of Homeland Cyber Agency. The senators are trying to expedite a unanimous passage of legislation that would authorize the new Department of Homeland Security to combat cyber threats. The Cyber Security and Infrastructure Security Act, H.R. 3359, so you just look up H.R. 3359, would be renamed and reorganized and bolster the department's current cyber arm, known as the National Protection and Program Directors, Bloomberg Government's Michael Ross talked about the possibility with Nancy Lyons in Bloomberg. So what that is, Keith, but it's like you said, but remember, Keith, I don't know if you weren't, there was, and I'm pretty sure Scotty remembers this, there was the Department of Homeland Security. I want to make this right. Let me make sure it was either Department of Homeland Security. Yeah, it was Department of Homeland Security chief at the time. Came out when celebrity figurehead Trump had just got elected. Came out and said that we are going to upgrade our cyber. This is part of this, right? And what you said a second ago is so important. Here's why that is. They're trying to expedite a vote. But one of the things that they were going to create cybersecurity from, Keith, are you ready? Mm-hmm. They were going to put it on the cloud. The most accessible and insecure, and I'm pretty sure Scotty remembers that, where we talked about that, where Department of Homeland Security person said they want to put it on the cloud. And they actually had a press conference, and one of the persons in the press mouth dropped, and he says, you know, I'm not an expert in IT, but my buddy is. And he said that that's the most unsecure thing in the world to do. Why would you do that? And the Department of Homeland Security said, because we want to. No, he didn't say that. But it was his overall response was, and that goes right to what you said, Keith. The vulnerability is there purposely. The laid trap always has bait attached, and that's what's happening. I meant to put this inside of Tando earlier. So yeah, Keith, there is no real trying to shore up where you're vulnerable and how vulnerable you are. No way in the world. So the article goes on. The report didn't contain meaningful evidence. Of course it won't contain meaningful evidence, because then it will show collusion. And then it'll show a conspiracy, The conclusion were that most parts of the unsustained, excuse me, the conclusions were for the most part unsubstantiated. It offered the opinion of experts but was not convincing enough to be followed by a statement coming from the White House officially blaming Moscow. The paper used the term infiltration, not attack. Indeed, the accusations boiled to allegations of evil intentions, but not hostile acts. And nothing was destroyed, and no one was killed. Man, if you ever want to go back and hear what Kennedy said at the Waldorf, the president in the press. Guerrillas by, instead of marching armies by day, guerrillas by night. This is what this is. Instead of marching armies by day, because everybody would know, hey, I need to pay attention, they got these marching armies. They have guerrillas that come by night. And this is what is happening again. So when you look at this, this whole thing, Perry was there. And let me move down to a couple of paragraphs later. The United States needs the plug pulled on the Nord Stream 2. The Nord Stream 2 project, so it can promote the LNG exports, light natural gas, exports to Europe. In July, the European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker promised the EU would buy more American gas. The U.S. could get more concessions from the bloc were it not for the lower prices offered by its Russian competitors. So here's what it is that, see, the Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 provides for more gas at a cheaper rate and more oil at a cheaper rate than what is what? Offered otherwise. So now you can see what the big fight is over. So they're in Syria to do what? To make sure that Nord Stream 2 doesn't make it to the sea. And that's very significant because this is where the wars are going to be fought. And there's another article real quickly. Let me just put this in from Russian Insider. U.S. Energy Secretary will meet this week with Saudi Arabia's King Khalid Al-Falan and Russian Alexander Norvik, the report comes from Reuters, adding that the meetings will be separate with the first ones to take place in Washington today and the second with the Russian to happen Thursday in Moscow. This was last week. The topic to be discussed is the diplomatic source that the Reuters spoke to will likely be oil in the Nord Stream 2 project. Washington is concerned about oil prices ahead of the sanctions against Iran in November. It would make sense to want to make sure there was no other oil production that will guarantee the supply of crude as the Iranians get squeezed out. So basically what they're doing is they're going to Moscow to beg them, don't let this happen. So the article goes on. The situation with Russian is a lot more complex. On the other hand, it can help keep the market in balance and price under control ahead of November's midterm elections. On the other, it is the object of U.S. sanctions, and more are on the way. So here's what's happening. These sanctions that are on the way are trying to be used to strong arm people not to go into these deals with Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2. These deals, the sanctions are really sanctioning Germany. They can't come out and say they're going to sanction Germany because Germany is what? A NATO nation. So Germany's got them by the short hairs here. So Germany is basically saying, so you're going to sanction a NATO nation, huh? So what they did is say, shoot, you can't do that. So what we can do is we can sanction them, but you know their conversation is, yes, we're going to sanction you, but we're not going to do it openly. We're not stupid. We have our ways. And then you know what Germany said in their deep German accent? So do we have our ways. Man, this whole thing, and this is where this war is guaranteed. This is why the no-fly zone is definitely going to be established and then be challenged. France is there. France's naval armada, their newest ships are in the Mediterranean. Well, Keith, on your first deployment, your first deployment for some of your newest equipment, where would you send that newest equipment where the biggest threat is?
Right out there, sure.
They would send it where they're most exposed. So France said that some of their newest naval assets, too. And I'm going to tell you, wherever Germany goes, France has to go. So remember what France said a couple of months ago. We need to have a military agreement and alliance with Russia. So really it's not just the Russian-German, as they put in, let me just go back to what they said, it's not just the Russian-German pipeline. It's the Russian-German-France-EU pipeline that's the threat. Wait, let me rephrase that. It's the Russian-German-France-EU-UK pipeline that's the biggest threat. Cooperation. It's the BRIC nations threat. Because in this overall threat and pipeline, you can add Venezuela to this. You can now add Mexico. You can now add Central America. You can add now the Koreas. I don't distinguish between North and South anymore. You can add in within the continent, Djibouti, South Africa, Libya. Nigeria. Iran, Iraq. You can add all of that into this overall Nord Stream 1 and 2. Because, see, Nord Stream, it just basically means no more streams for the U.S. and all of its influence geopolitically, militarily, and economically throughout the world. So this is why Syria is critical. Once they put up this overall, why are they putting up S-300, S-400s in Syria? Because they're there to protect the Nord Stream pipeline. And then the naval armada, the only two seagoing ports that Russia has outside of Russia is in Syria. That is going to expand. Oh, Greece is going to be a part of BRICS too, and they're going to allow the overall naval armada, because they're going to need to do what? Protect that pipeline, the underground sea pipeline. Then they're going to move into the Eurasian nations. Then they're going to use into Eastern Europe. Poland is going to fall, and they're going to have to go back. Hungary is going to fall. The Ukraine has already fell. All of those nations, and that pipeline is going to be significant. And as winter starts to come, the ranching of every... See, they said the November elections. That's not really what the thing is. The real thing is that it's about to get cold in Europe. And when it gets cold in Europe, they're going to need what? The overall resources to keep their people at bay. So that's today's show. Let me make sure we don't have any callers in queue. So, yes, that's today's show. And I just want to say thank you all. And it's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. Great Creator willing, we'll be back tomorrow with another show. And I just want to thank my great co-host, Pastor Keith. There's always a true pleasure, and you add so much to the show. So, all right, everyone. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
with slicing cake. With slicing cake. With slicing cake.
Save the US wants to avoid at all costs.
With slicing cake.
Save the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.